Welcome to Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm today's host, Travis, and I'm joined here in person with Emily and none other than our wonderful community manager, face of YouTube, face of Instagram, a world traveler who made some time to come back to the States, LaVon. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good.
Yeah.
Glad to be with you guys in person.
Yeah. Great to have you. Great to have both of you, since we usually don't do this in person.
Yeah. It's nice to be together for kind of a little year-end send-off.
Yeah.
With our topic for today.
Yeah. That is, thank you, Emily. I'm still getting the hang of this a little bit. That is today's topic. This is going to be our last episode for 2025. And we figured, what better way to do it than by just looking back over some of the most trending discussions in our Facebook group, of course.
The best Points and Miles community in all the land.
The best one. The best moderated.
Yes. Best and biggest.
Best and biggest. Couldn't do it without LaVon. And of course, just didn't make sense to be talking about the Facebook group without LaVon here to talk it with us. So We're going to unpack some of the biggest topics. What got people talking? Maybe have a little debate, see where we agree, disagree. That's part of the fun, is our opinion sometimes. But as always, let's start this with an icebreaker.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
This is going to be kind of a two-pronged one. 2025 coming to a close. What was your favorite change in Points and Miles in 2025? And what change would you like to see in 2026?
So my favorite change, just because, especially how I live my life, is the new Bank of America Alaska Summit card, which gives you 3% on any charge that is a foreign transaction. And since about 80% of my charges are foreign transactions, that is a very welcome addition to my wallet. So that's, you already know which card is at the front.
Are there any foreign transaction fees on that? Like, are you negating? No.
No, there's no foreign transaction fees.
And that's earning Alaska miles?
Earning Alaska miles, you know.
Atmos miles,
man. Those Atmos points, and you could use...
Oh, is it... This feels like Avios, Avios all over again. Is it Atmos or Atmos? I've always said Atmos, like atmosphere.
Shoot.
Maybe. You might be something.
Yeah.
Might be onto something. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Let's go Atmos.
Atmosphere.
I've heard a lot of Atmos recently, so.
I'm not the expert on this one.
I feel like when they did it, it was like atmosphere. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Let's go with that.
So it's going to be wrong.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the redemptions you can get from those points too are nuts.
Because Alaska Airlines doesn't really have transfer partners compared to some of these other airlines, it takes a lot less points in order to do their redemptions. And then being in the One World Alliance, which is the best alliance, and argue with your mama about that if you want, but do not argue with me about it because I'm not budging.
Guess LaVon's my mama.
Yeah.
There's just so many great redemptions that you could do. Every continent, domestic, Atmos points are going to be able to get you there. And then on top of that, too, the card gives you 10K status points, you know, towards status every year. And then every time you redeem even a partner award flight, you're also getting closer to status as well as the spend. Mm. So that is absolutely my go-to card.
Is there anything else even like come close to it in your wallet?
Not for me.
No.
Yeah. Not for me.
Yeah. Card was made for you.
And I mean, it already paid off. You actually got upgraded because of your status on your flight here to Columbus, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That was my first time getting a free upgrade. I was in main cabin and they said, no, we are putting you in first class.
Woo!
Seat 1A.
Nice. I love that.
I don't like the bulkhead, but there's something about being in 1A. It's the first number, the first letter. It just, it feels...
Yeah.
There's an emotional tie to it.
Literally. I might even have cried.
You gotta celebrate the wins, you know. What's my favorite change? I'm gonna go with the Virgin Atlantic dynamic pricing. I think that's kind of like, as much as you know, we all say dynamic pricing isn't the way to go, but the pros have outweighed the cons, I would say, in this situation, because it opens up so much more award space, especially for people who are like traveling with larger families. You can fly to Europe for 6,000 points. That makes things a lot more attainable, especially if you're just getting started in this hobby. So finding that award space, having the cheaper pricing, I think has been a good change over the past year.
I agree. Yeah.
I've got the one that's going to get me some spicy comments.
Yeah.
My favorite change was Southwest introducing assigned seating. It's been one of the big reasons I've avoided them as a tall person. Knowing where I'm going to sit is important. It matters to me. So them getting rid of it, I like it. And what I'll get flamed for is, has that actually caused me to fly Southwest anymore?
Well, they haven't implemented it yet. So maybe once they do, you'll consider it.
Yeah.
Doubt it. But you can have your take. That's fine.
It makes me more likely to.
Yeah. It's back in the game as a competitive airline for you, whereas most people are having the exact opposite response.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 2026, what are you looking forward to? Or what would you like to see from Points and Miles in 2026? And I can go first while y'all ponder it. In 2026, I would love to see lower award prices. And that's of course we would. But we've seen an interesting trend towards that over the past few years between Air France. Now they did kind of devalue that again. Some of the Alaska changes lowered award prices on some. United recently lowered award prices, I believe, on partner flights. Mm-hmm. So we are in this weird time where, yes, we can say I would like to see that, but I would like to see that trend continue. And I weirdly don't think that it's that unreasonable.
Okay. Mine's not necessarily Points and Miles specific, but it aids in that. I would like to see more nonstop flights out of Denver to Europe. 'Cause then I can spend my points easier and with less layovers. 'Cause right now I think I've got
Lufthansa.
Yeah. Lufthansa to Munich or Frankfurt. There's a new one from on United to Rome, I think. There's Air France into Paris.
Surely,
we need a few more.
With the glorious One World Alliance, you must have a British Airways flight at least.
I don't think I do. No.
I feel like British Airways has to fly. They fly to like Pittsburgh.
I don't know. I'll have to look. I know I have nonstop United to London, but I don't know about British Airways to check. Anyway.
Gotta check flightconnections.com.
I know. Yeah. That's my hope.
What about you, Levon?
I'm anticipating. This is like a negative Nancy take. I feel like the partnership between Virgin Atlantic and ANA, I just feel like.
Oh, no.
It's so good.
Don't speak it into existence. I know.
But on the flip side, even though ANA has done away with their Round the World, and that's kind of a segue for a later topic. JAL also has Round the World. So I'm excited to dive into that a little bit more and, you know, come up with some stuff in the group and resources on our social media so that you guys are more aware of that because it is available.
Yeah.
And it's One World?
It's One World. Oh, the best alliance.
Yeah.
So Star Alliance kind of kicked you guys to the curb, but One World is going to cradle you in its arms and take you to the promised land.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Okay, that's a good one.
Oh, well, I hope all of these come true.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's already true. It's already out there.
That's already out there. We're manifesting everything to be. But let's reflect back on some of the hottest posts from the Facebook group this year. We're gonna start with a fun one. This segment came up. Facebook group member Wendy posted about how she had applied for a credit card for a new hot water heater and had been trying to hold out on buying it until the new card comes. This means she was boiling water for baths or taking cold showers. So Wendy asked the group, what crazy things have others done for points? And apparently a lot of us do crazy things like paid for 150 boxes of Girl Scout cookies with a credit card.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm presumably like
group order. Yeah.
Group order. Yeah. And then maybe getting Venmo'd back for that. Or
just have, very generous.
Or just really likes cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Selena, I'd be interested in some context there.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Signed up to be an Uber Eats driver because Rakuten was offering 5,000 points. I figure I'd deliver a single order and quit, but I actually enjoy it. And now I'm at 298 trips.
Damn.
That's like points and money.
Yeah.
That's a...
Open up a new side hustle then.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Who else we have here? Jamie drove around on a donut for a week waiting for his card to arrive because truck tires are very expensive. That's commitment. Yeah, I don't know if I've driven around on a flat tire for that long, but that's, yeah, impressive.
Allie, her husband bought a new Patagonia coat and paid with the debit card.
Ooh.
Committed a sin there.
Yeah.
So they had to return it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And he probably thought she was being a little dramatic. But those of us in points.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
You're not about to just give up a $300 charge.
Mm-mm.
No. Right? So Ali said that, you know, if either you return it or it looks like maybe you'll be flying in economy.
Hey, Ali.
Respectful threat. Yeah.
I love that. You know, anytime my wife is like, oh, do I have to use a shopping portal? Why am I using this card? I just tell her, you don't have to, but then you just have to fly economy.
Mm-hmm. The sacrifices we make.
The sacrifices that we make for points of miles. That's some crazy things. I'm interested to see what crazy things anyone here has done for points of miles.
I don't know if I have like anything that is as extreme as these examples, but I did used to, on Twitter, there used to be these like games you could, or like surveys you could participate in from the NFL Twitter handle, where if you like replied to their surveys or like questions, you could earn like a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand points. I would do that every Sunday, every football Sunday, I would reply on Twitter. I don't use my Twitter for anything else. But so if you ever looked at my Twitter, it's literally just replies to the NFL. Yeah.
Do they even validate the response or you just reply go Bills every time?
Yeah, just go Bills. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, who is the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Go Bills. Yeah. Yeah. You got anything?
Yeah, honestly, I'm pretty chill when it comes to my points earning.
Get a card that gives you 3% back on all your foreign transactions.
You'd probably be human digital nomad just to do that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I would have. But yeah, I honestly haven't really done anything.
Well, does burning my house down count? Okay.
Context.
I did not actually burn it down myself.
For the record, yeah, to clarify.
But my first house actually did have a pretty severe fire. Like the house was a total loss. And it was an amazing points and miles earning opportunity. Some of the things that we did was while our insurance was paying for us to stay at a hotel, I did a status match to Marriott, stay 2 weeks and get platinum while I was staying there for 6 weeks. I did that because that was later that year we were going to the St. Regis Maldives. So platinum got me free breakfast there.
Mm-hmm. Matters there.
Here now. Yeah.
Matters.
Yeah.
Matters.
A, you don't have options. You can't leave. B, right. It's like $60 per person.
Yeah, so, for like a plate of eggs. Yeah.
I mean, like, we probably saved about $1,000.
Just on breakfast.
Just on breakfast.
That's insane.
Alone. Yeah. We had to replace virtually everything. I mean, it really was a total loss. And I just tried to find the best opportunities I could, but I used it particularly on cards where there was no way I would have met the minimum spend.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at the time there was a business card that offered 300,000 points when you spend $50,000 in 6 months.
Yeah. when you're replacing everything you've ever owned, yeah.
When you're replacing sure. everything you've ever owned, and this is not points and miles, but I actually kind of tell everyone, when you're thinking about that insurance policies, like, I was shocked at how much stuff we had that adds up so quickly. Like, you think about how many electronics you've bought that have a charging cable, but if you need to buy that charging cable separately,
it's like $40.
It's like 40, 40 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And who's ever throwing them out? No, they're just ending up in a drawer somewhere. Mm-hmm. Well, that drawer might be a gold mine.
Yeah. And everything, or for the most part, was just being reimbursed by insurance.
Everything was being reimbursed. After the hotel, we moved into an apartment. We rented furniture. That was being reimbursed. The rent was being reimbursed. I could pay the rent with a credit card.
Wow.
I mean, it was in a...
Turned that those lemons yeah. into a lot of points and miles lemonade.
Yeah.
How deep in your points and miles journey were you at that point?
This was moderately.
Yeah.
Like... I started points in 2015, 2016. This was 2019.
Yeah. So like enough to be dangerous.
Enough to be dangerous. Mm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
terrible circumstances, but yeah, you made the most of it.
So maybe it's not so crazy in the sense that it wasn't as intentional as some of these other stories.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you could say it was a pretty crazy way to leverage an opportunity into points and miles.
I would mm-hmm. think so.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at another one of
our
hot ones. This is one that I think we're all going to have maybe some different takes on, probably all trending in the same direction. I might be wrong. We're also biased. But this one is kind of around the theme of, is the credit card points and miles game slowly dying? Group member Neville listed out several bullet points of changes that have come about this year amongst major credit card companies and asks, between stricter rules, higher fees, lower referral upside, is the golden era of the credit card hobby coming to an end? I know they say we always adapt, but this is definitely not looking good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a hot topic this year. I mean, I feel like easy enough to say that every year.
Yeah. Because
there's so many changes. And of course, like the more people find the hobby, the more loopholes kind of start to close. But mm-hmm. we've kind of recorded an episode with a similar theme of like, are points and miles worth less now? And I think the takeaway from that episode was they're way easier to earn than ever. But yes, we're fighting with like points increases across the board on award charts. So easy to earn, but you know, you've got to spend more to get the same type of vacation that you might have gotten for less 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. And this isn't just because even beyond Neville's post, I've seen it across the Facebook group many times this year. Each time there's a change. But I don't think it's dying. I continue to firmly believe that we just need to adjust and to adapt. Do expectations need to be tempered a bit? I would say so. But there is still a lot of opportunity to be able to have greatly reduced and affordable travel for an individual and their family using points and miles. And I will stand on that hill and die there.
I
mean, we are all a little biased because we work in the industry and want to keep our jobs.
Well, we also just want to keep traveling the way we have for
that
5-10 years at this point.
That too.
Like, yes, keeping my job bonus, but
yeah,
still being able to travel for mostly free, bigger bonus.
Yeah. But I agree with everyone. You know, having been doing it for almost a decade now, it feels like every year there's someone asking, is it dying? Is it dying? Like, but no, is it really? Like, is this really the time? And there's a lot of survivorship bias that it never has. But I also think there's a lot more economic data supporting why it can't. The amount of revenue that airlines make from their loyalty programs and specifically from travel reward credit cards is just so substantial that dying simply isn't an option.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not going to change and not going to adapt. Like, my takeaway from all of these changes is banks want to get more long-term value from customers, and doing the points of miles game is inherently on the opposite side. We want to get, like, we as consumers want to get as much value with as little spend as possible. How the banks get value is by you putting more spend on their cards. And these rules are less targeted to the points and miles game, right? Mm-hmm. Banks are smart.
They know what they want, we think.
Yeah. Banks are banks. They've got a lot of smart people working for them. I think it would be really naive to think that banks don't know about this going on. And I also think that it's a little naive, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I also think it's a little naive to think that we're a big enough community for them to really care. Our Facebook community is big in this space, but think about how many people probably bank at some of these places.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about, I mean, all the people who join our community and decide maybe this isn't right for them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, not just our community, but the points and miles hobby in general. It's a lot of work, but we all do it because that's our personality type and we think it's fun. Mm-hmm. But some people don't think it's fun. So, like, I think the community of people who play the points and miles game is smaller than, like you're saying,
yeah,
it would need to be something they're trying to actively kill.
Yeah. It's almost as if reframing it a little as a question less of is the game slowly dying and more are the challenges and the obstacles that have to be overcome to continue participating in the points and miles game increasing to a point where certain people have decided it is not worth overcoming those obstacles to keep participating. Mm. And I think that's probably more of what it is that more people see the additional work needed and choose to not participate in it because the rewards are not worth it. And I don't know, I'm not some psychologist or something, but it's a lot easier to say the banks are killing it rather than I am actively choosing to not participate.
I think that's a much better way to reframe it because you're right. It's not as easy. There's a lot more nuance. There's a little bit more dancing. There's more strategy that's required. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like Emily is alluding to, not everybody wants to dance that dance. I want to dance.
Yeah.
I will continue to gladly, I will tango, I will waltz, whatever it requires.
The floor is yours. Yeah.
No, I will do it because to me, it is still very, very much worth it. It just requires just a little bit more effort. Instead of just throwing a card at the wall, an application at the wall, like now it's going to take just a little bit more strategy to figure out how can I make sure to do this where it is sustainable, where it was a lot less thought that needed to go into it maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the hindsight of how until these opportunities go away, we often don't realize the good things about it. You know, things that I reflect on are star points. Yeah. Like we knew they were great, but until they went away,
yeah,
did we really understand or feel how great they were? Marriott Nights and Flights packages.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I'm kind of upset that I never took advantage of any of those. And I know people who got incredible value from it.
I mean, speaking of things going away, like, that was another trending topic that we've got on our list to discuss is the end of the ANA Around the World trip.
Yeah.
Like, that was a heyday. That just ended. Sad.
It was. It was. And, I mean, enough so that it was one of our top trending items.
I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, the ANA Round the World program was basically a way that you could book up to 12 legs of flights, and they could be partner flights with ANA, but you could travel the entire world on up to 12 different segments for if you were going in business class, around 125,000, 145,000 miles per person, which, I mean, if you tried to book those legs independently in business class, that's like
round trip, like one, round trip costs that amount and more.
Yeah. And there are some like very complicated rules to how you had to do this. You have to stay going in one direction for the most part. You can only have a certain number of stopovers. You can mix cabins, but they're always going to price it at the higher end. So this was a super popular way to go on these kind of like bananas trips. Like people.
And people were, took bananas trips.
People are so dedicated to this like travel around the world program that like they would go on 30-day trips visiting 15 different cities that they had like no business going on. Like you're barely seeing any cities because you're flying so quickly from one city to the other. But nonetheless, I mean, it's just, it's kind of like almost gimmicky in a way. I mean, if you have the time to visit all those cities, then it's a great opportunity. Like, I don't know if you've ever used it in your...
I wish I did. I wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it was an incredible program. So efficient from a cost perspective. But yeah, it ended around June of this year. And people had fair warning, but these are really complicated trips. So like by the time June came around and people started posting their kind of like brag trips and everything, then other people started to realize that this was going away. And then you've got like a week or two to put together a 12-leg round the world journey. And people got desperate and it got exciting and everyone wanted to go on it. And now I don't think you had to travel by June, right?
You just need to book it.
So people are still taking these up through maybe like...
Yeah, there's a lot of people able to, you know, once it was winding down, were able to get it together and book these trips. I did see a lot of posts like that in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
And shout out to our community for just kind of rallying, giving tips, giving assistance to help people to like pull it all together, because it needed to happen pretty fast.
Yeah. 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 It's tough when people, the way all the Facebook algorithms work, you never see the posts you want to until like one really pops off and you're like, oh, it's June 29th and I have to book this round the world trip in 2 business days. And
it might take 3 days for the points to transfer.
Exactly. Yeah. So that one was one of the most popular posts that we had in the Facebook group, just because when things go away, it's very sad and people try to take advantage as much as they can before it ends.
Yeah. No. Just like if Virgin Atlantic booking any on...
Yeah.
That goes away.
There'll be a mad dash. Yeah. I will be in that line.
Oh, I'm sure.
I still have like almost 300,000 Virgin Atlantic miles from when I first booked it in 2020. Actually, I technically booked it in 2019.
Oh,
take
no.
Take an impromptu trip to Japan and book it.
Yeah.
First class is 72,500 from the West Coast and 85,000 from the East Coast. Book a round trip.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do with all those Virgin miles?
You could go
to South Africa.
You could go, You could go to London. Like,
yeah, but you
can script on.
You can, but you can.
I flipped the script on you.
You can get to South Africa in premium economy for like 35,000.
Yeah.
You still
do it 10 times.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I could go almost every month for a year.
You could, and you should, because South Africa is that fun.
No, I really want to. Like, there's so many of these. I never did an ANA around the world.
I know. I booked it for so many other people through the award booking service, but I never did it for myself. I wanted to do it for our honeymoon, but like we have pets, and like also I my husband has limited PTO, so we were going to be those crazy people who do a round the world trip in 2 weeks, and that's just
that's
a lot of time on
we were going to be exhausted. We were going to be spending more time on the plane and checking into hotels than like actually doing fun
things. There's not enough jet lag gummies in the world.
Oh yeah. No, and depending on which direction you go around the world, like your jet lag is way worse than the other, right? Like if you start going east, it's more gradual, but if you start by going west, then it's more dramatic, I think.
I always find it easier going west than going east.
Oh, okay. Do you feel the same?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm wrong.
Pretty much whenever Asia is in the mix, like, forget it. Like, sleep is out the window.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm. Yeah, never did one of those, but
yeah.
Now, too late.
No,
But Travis, have you flown ANA biz or first?
I have flown their business class. I've flown the room and their old one.
The suite is calling you, man. 300,000 Virgin miles. It's well,
that's what I had booked in for March of 2020, nonstop from Houston to Tokyo in first class. Not the suite, actually. I shouldn't say that. It was their old first class.
Yes, but you're gonna want to book JFK. Just get some award, find award availability.
Hey.
Yeah.
And just book it and just go. How many times? You've been to Japan a couple times, right?
I've never visited Japan. I've only flown through.
What are they talking? What is happening? So
Travis has been trying to go to Japan since 2020.
I've canceled 3 Japan trips because of the pandemic.
All right. So this is perfect.
Yeah.
This is literally perfect. You have Virgin miles that are literally on the fritz and you haven't gotten a proper Japan trip?
Mm-mm.
That's 2 mighty birds with 1 stone.
Japan and Safari are the 2 like top of our list.
All right.
There you go.
And then because the business class is a little bit pricier with Virgin Atlantic, but because you have so many miles, it doesn't.
And I've had them there for 5 plus years.
It's just the taxes are going to eat you a little bit for business. But if you're okay, then.
I mean, especially if I can get it nonstop from Houston. Mm. I know.
You have a homework assignment, Travis.
Book. ANA. There, it's written down and underlined.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we usually don't miss them until they're gone. Although it sounds like LeVon's got us handled for a solution to fill the gap in One World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do like One World.
As you should. It would be unwise to not recognize the greatness that's in front of us.
That's a bit of loss. Let's flip the script a little bit and talk about maybe a win. We actually had a member of our community, Christina, win one of the bank's giveaways where she won 1 million points, and I'm jealous because I know that I entered it and didn't win.
You didn't do it every day, every hour, like Christina did.
That's true.
This was a multiple. Because I remember entering.
Yeah,
it was a multiple entry situation.
I think you do it like once a day.
Oh. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have had a little bit more grit.
I know.
I did it for like 3 days and then forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the most common comments on that post were, what taxes do you get charged on the winnings? Because the major banks will send you like tax forms for like giveaway points or referrals, not the actual like sign up bonuses. But yeah, that could be like a sneaky, less fun part about winning 1 million miles.
I'll okay pay those taxes. Please take that money.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine. Because 1 million points is.
I mean, I have paid taxes to redeem my points.
Yes, this is true. Yeah. When are we going to create a card that has an earning rate on taxes and fees?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, if Bank of America could give us 3% for foreign transactions, anything is possible.
Anything that's is possible.
That's still so nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 million points, if 100,000 points, like typically they value them at about 1 cent each.
Yeah.
So that would be $10,000 worth of points.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your
tax rate is,
marginal tax rate, not an accountant, is on $10,000. Like,
it's not nothing, but it's also, you'll get way more value out of the 1 million points than you will on.
Yeah, I mean, like, taxes. You can honestly, like, and probably not how I would use 1 million points, but you could probably even just redeem them for a statement. You'd pay the taxes with a credit card and then redeem them for a statement credit.
Yeah.
And still have points left over for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably still. Because statement credit, do you get 1 cent per point typically?
Mm-hmm.
0.6 varies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the conversion is because that's not really.
That's something. Not how we
That's how I mean we do that.
Yeah. I made those mistakes early in the game, and then I started being more active in the Facebook group and learned a thing or two.
Yeah. Well, I did like the one suggestion from a commenter, which was what to do with 1 million points. Earn Hyatt Globalist with super cheap stays using the points and then you'll secure Globalist for the following year. And you have a super cheap Hyatt that you stayed at in Bali, right?
Mm-hmm. That's like actually how I became Globalist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I did a fast track, so I needed 20 nights. Lo and behold, I was moving overseas. And I was like, what better place to like start a digital nomad journey than Bali? And the Bali Hyatts at the time were 3,500 points a night for off-peak.
Yeah.
So I had great breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
Traffic, they had a really nice club lounge as well, too.
Yeah.
So honestly, most nights we didn't really get dinner. We just ate at the club lounge. And then there's some nights we got fancy. We went next door to the Andaz Bali.
Uh-huh.
And they have a great, I forget, it's some kind of fisherman's restaurant. So we had some really great fish. But then, of course, went to a couple restaurants too. But yeah, that's a great way to earn Globalist.
Yeah.
Hyatt Cape Town is also another one. 3,500 points a night off peak. It's in a great location in the BoCap neighborhood, very close to like Bree Street, Long Street, and the downtown area. So yeah, there's lots of these little niche places where if you have a bunch of points, you can earn Globalist, have a great vacation in time.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing some quick math is what I was writing. I was answering the question that I'm sure is burning in everyone's minds of how many nights could you get for 1 million points at 3,500 points per night. Well, my recommendation, so that way we get a nice round even number, is for Christina to open a card with this bank to top it off just a little bit from the bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have 1,050,000 points, as long as I did my math correctly, 300 nights.
Yep.
Okay. So she could almost stay a full year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Bali.
Right.
With only paying the taxes and fees on those, and I guess the annual fee for the credit card for the little bit extra.
Yeah. Mm. But then you get a free night award.
So it all works out. You get
301 nights.
Yeah.
How many free night awards would you get if you stayed 300 nights?
You would actually get a quite a bit.
Do you get it every 20?
I don't remember exactly, but I know like at 40, you get a free night. Or is it 30? It's either 30 or 40, because I just got one.
If it's 30, you would get an extra 10.
I don't know if you get it at every 30.
Oh.
But I know the first 30.
Yeah, most people are spending 300 next year at the Hyatt.
Oh, yeah, boy, you have a ton of suite upgrade awards, a bunch of free night awards, category 1 to 4, 1 to 7. It would just be really good.
But I mean, even if you didn't stay 300 nights at a hotel, you could stay just enough to earn Globalist, and then you'd still have a ton of points left over to go do something else.
Like Fuji Speedway?
Yeah.
Fuji Speedway.
There you go.
With Globalist.
Yeah.
Anybody doesn't know, that is definitely my favorite Hyatt. If you are a car enthusiast in any way, shape, or form, if you are even minor, just like cars a little bit, if you ever even looked at an engine, you would love Fuji Speedway. There's a museum on the first and second floor of the hotel. The first floor is showing you like antique cars, basically the history of cars, and then the first cars that used to race on Fuji Speedway. And then the second floor is a little bit more of the more modern race cars. And most of them have a race on the Fuji Speedway. And the reason that it's called the Fuji Speedway is because the hotel is located right next to Fuji Speedway.
And it is.
So they have excursions up that you can take part in as being a hotel guest. One of them, you can either rent a car yourself and bring it to the racetrack, or rent one of their race cars.
Ooh, that's cool.
The conversion at the time was $80. So I rented their most fancy Toyota supermodel.
Yeah.
And drove it 3 laps around the track. You're driving, you're seeing a view of Mount Fuji. You're driving a race car. They let you hit the gas a little bit. It is a very, very fun experience.
That's very cool.
How many points per night does that cost?
It's 25,000 points a night, which isn't the greatest cent per point value. So you can always just use cash. That's what I did. Mm. But either whatever way you wanna play it, that's a great hotel to stay at.
That's 40 nights with 1 million points. Yeah.
That's a lot of laps around the track.
That is, yeah. Wow.
Well, does anyone know if Christina ever got back to us? Apparently a lot of people commented asking if there's a P2 in the picture, or a P3, P4, adopted children, adopting adults as your children.
Right. People are looking to get in on the 1 million points.
Yeah, I'm looking to get in. Like, hey, Christina, I could do award searches.
Yeah. I wonder if we should comment back on the post now, see if she's spent them on anything.
That would be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
I mean, surely at this point.
That was from a few months ago, so.
It's still just crazy because, like, obviously that giveaway was not limited just to our group, but fact that someone in our group managed to win it is...
I'm not surprised.
It's incredible.
Yeah. They are dedicated, if nothing else.
They are dedicated.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish this up with the last one, the last big hot topic that came up in our Facebook group this year that I've already introduced a little earlier. Southwest changes. There was a lot of discussion around the changes to Southwest, the assigned seating, no more free checked bags.
Unless you're a card holder,
Unless you're a card holder. And Southwest, if you're listening, most people, they weren't happy. I think most people, myself included, like, while I didn't really like the Southwest model, I feel as if they just eliminated a lot of the things that made them unique and made them different from the other airlines.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are y'all's thoughts?
I think more people are upset with the fact, or like with the direction that the changes are going in. Like, I think people had this idea in their minds that Southwest is kind of like a budget airline. But if you look at the prices, at least in the past couple of years, they're not. They're like honestly more expensive than a different airline might be for your destination. So like, but I think that the changes that they're making are making the few things that were good worse.
Mm-hmm.
And people can see the writing on the wall of like, oh, well, if this is changing, what are they going to do with the companion pass, which is like the only thing good left at this point in my mind. So that is a perk that a lot of people consider very valuable. So that being threatened is not good.
It's a little scary. I think Southwest, I didn't look at them as a budget airline. I just felt or saw that a lot of their policies were very family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then eliminating some of those things just made it a lot less family friendly, which is I feel like was that big selling point for them. Mm-hmm. You know, especially traveling as a family, you know, having the checked bags, and there's no assigned seating. So then like you're all kind of boarding together. So the family gets to sit together pretty easily.
Yeah.
So just losing out on some of those things is, I could see why some family travelers were just felt kind of like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
But also though, if like these things didn't happen, then like the business model is also not great. You have to make money. So
yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where I stand on it. These things didn't really affect me, but I do feel for those family travelers that were, it made life a lot easier. So I feel for all of you.
To me, even though I didn't like it, and I am more likely, although zero times any number is still zero, to fly Southwest, given the changes, particularly to the seating policy, what I think hit so many people hard was with these changes, especially with the bag fees and assigned seats. Separate from those, like what was the heart of it? Which, funny, because you know the Southwest.
Yeah, the heart. Yeah.
I think the heart of it with Southwest was you just weren't being nickeled and dimed. You know, you book with any of the other, definitely the budget airlines. Yeah. You are, but you know, Southwest told you your flight is $300. You know, that's your flight.
That's your seat.
That's your seat. That's your bag.
It's two bags. Yeah. At least.
Yeah, two bags. Two bags.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah, you each.
Yeah.
Each. But you also know that the seating thing, it's kind of a fair game. Like maybe, you know, you can pay for early bird check-in and stuff like that to get earlier. But I think people didn't feel that was nickel and diming them. Whereas you book with any of the, I don't know, we'll pick on the random One World airline, for example, like American Airlines. And you've got all of these different fare classes, you know, and the price you see the first time says it's $199, but then that's basic economy and doesn't include anything. So, well, the, like So you feel tricked, but then you still, if you want to actually pick a seat that's not a middle seat, they're going to charge you an extra $79. Mm-hmm. Oh, and unless you hold the credit card, you have to pay for the bags, and it's $35, $40, $50 for the for the first bag. So in my mind, that the perception that they had was just kind of one of fairness. Mm-hmm. It's you're flying on a plane, you're going to have luggage, you're going to need somewhere to sit. And it's just going to be, hey, here's a battle royale way of figuring it out. Yeah. But it's at least feels like you're on the same playing field as everyone else instead of having to pay more for it. And with all of that going away, that identity of fairness is what was lost. And I guess I'm evil because I'm the one who says that it makes me more likely to fly Southwest.
I mean, I think... Two, if you travel and do like any kind of sport where you require oversized luggage, like skiing or golfing or diving, or if you flew Southwest, that was just easy to check those oversized bags and not have to pay not only like a bag fee, but an oversized bag fee. And now that, like, I would have picked Southwest over any other airline just for that, so that I could bring my skis to go skiing somewhere. And clearly that didn't play a role in your flight choices for diving, but
no, you know. I knew a number of people actually who flew Southwest for that period. Like, they had their 50-pound bags of dive gear for domestic or, you know, short haul international stuff.
Yeah,
they had it dialed in.
Yeah,
that's gone now. Well, will be.
Yeah, yeah. So, thumbs down from me, but
thumbs sideways.
Yeah.
I'm thumbing down on behalf of the Facebook family travelers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to be clear with everyone. They've not formally indicated what's happening with Companion Pass. It's mostly just concern, seeing them take away so many of these valuable benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Why would what seems to be the most valuable one
survive? Yeah.
My hope is that usually... The way of these things, if there is something being taken away, there's a small grace period of like, it'll change next year, or, you know, if there's an annual fee increase on a card, that annual fee increase is not going to be until the very next anniversary date. So my hope is if it is going to be taken away, it'll give people a chance to be like, okay, well, this is the last hurrah. At least I can get in. I'm kind of good for the next 1.5 to 2 years. But hopefully it does stick around.
Yeah. I mean, typically since, kind of like you said, usually, especially since it is tied, technically it's kind of like a status level with the airline, even though this is a workaround way, typically they announce any major changes to that far enough in advance for travelers to plan. So I think that there would definitely be some advance notice, even if just a couple of weeks or months.
It's not advanced enough. Yeah. But I mean, that was such a core part of my strategy and early on in this game that I got to imagine for people who are either just getting started or who are family travelers, like that would be a major
blow.
Detriment. So our fingers are crossed, but we'll just wait to see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's nothing to see. Hopefully
Yep.
Well, any last takes from any of y'all on 2025 before we wrap up this year?
Roll with the punches. Just roll with the punches. You know, if you want it, you got to work for it sometimes. And that's okay. And then if you don't want it, well.
More for us?
Yeah. I'm going to keep on dancing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Not specific to 2025, but I would just say, because we're talking so much about the Facebook group, that's been one of the biggest like major turning points for I think so many people in our audience is like, sure, they read the course and they think they understand it, but then there's nothing like reading a post where you understand 20% of the language to challenge you to kind of like move to the next level of knowledge, because that's what's going to show you what's really possible with points and miles, and that's going to encourage you to go, okay, like I need to Google that, or I need to look up One World Alliance now that you've heard us talking about it so much. So I think like immersing yourself in the Facebook group culture is a great way to kind of level up.
Absolutely. take advantage of the resources because they are there. Facebook as a platform isn't the easiest to navigate, but if you take some time, if you tag me, LaVon Edwards, I will answer, and I'll show you where things are. But there are a lot of things that we have set up just as a moderation team to try to give you as the best chance of success. Use it because it will change the game for you. That is a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that I could say it any better than y'all. So maybe that's a cop-out to where I don't have to say anything. But I'll just go ahead and say, what a wrap on 2025. So thank both of you for spending the time here with me today. Thank all of you out there for just another wonderful year here at 10X Travel. Yeah, there's a lot of changes that happen in the points and miles industry. That's not new. It's not anything novel. It's something we face every single year. Listen to LaVon, roll with the punches, because if not, it just means less competition for award seats for us. So it's kind of a win-win for us either way. But we want you to be along on the journey with us.
Come on, come dance with us.
Dance with LaVon anyway. Yeah. I don't know if we're dancing, but...
Hey, did you hear that if we hit 500,000 members in the Facebook group in 2026, LaVon is gonna dance for everyone? That's what I heard.
I heard that, yes.
So, yeah. You know, invite who you know. Yeah. But if you're looking to make 2026 a even better year in travel and in points and miles, of course, check out the Facebook group. I'm not going to try to pitch you on anything else. The community is, it's what makes us a special place. It's what makes what we do matter. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you for 2025. Thank you in advance for 2026. But the community is a place to own your steel with other people doing this, to find opportunities, whether it's resources the LaVon and team have already put out, or as Emily mentioned, you read something and it's like a dictionary. You're like, I don't know what that means. Let me ask questions, figure it out. Like, the community is there to help everyone. So check it out. I know Facebook isn't everyone's jam right now. It's what we've got. So happy travels. And we look forward to seeing you in 2026.